Ulysses Butch Slaughter here. Welcome to Sex and the Struggle. This is Sex and the Struggle, a new segment that I'm doing with my sister Tazima Davis. We call this Exploring Intimacy with Tazima Davis, and I'm not going to waste any time. Anybody who's listened to Sex and the Struggle in the past knows this sister, knows how much I absolutely adore this sister, and knows that it's okay for me to shut the hell up and just let her get started. Sister Tazima Davis, what's happening, girl?
I'm feeling good this morning. I have a lot of exciting things to talk about, and I'm excited to get started with this segment with you specifically because there's a way that we get, I think, confused about what intimacy is, and I chose, you know, Ulysses, for the folks who are listening, Ulysses and I have these really fantastic conversations on the phone. We have never, ever lived in the same place, but we know each other through various communities and various activities, and it's been really nice getting to know him in this sort of long-distance fashion, and we've had these fantastic conversations, and we can talk like forever about all kinds of things, and so when he asked me what the title of the show should be, I was like, you know, it's got to be Exploring Intimacy. And one of the reasons why I like the word intimacy is because of the multiple connotations that it has. People use intimacy as a code word for sex. And sometimes they use it as an overt word for sex, to be polite. Sometimes it's about being intimate, like having an intimate conversation or your intimate parts or intimate products. So it's got all these kind of funny meanings that are sort of secretive, and so I want to play on even the idea of having these code words that we use to talk about what we really want to talk about, and I'd like to use this exploration to dig into the many layers of all of that, because this is my shit. This is what I live for. Intimacy is so exciting to me. It's so much of what I want for people. And what I mean by intimacy, just to be 100% clear, is the real, genuine, transparent connection that two people can have, no matter what level of quote unquote intimacy that they have or what level their relationship is on. I think there can be intimacy in all types of relationships, not just romantic relationships, but in friendships, in family relationships, in of course, romantic relationships and in partnerships of all sorts, business relationships. So intimacy is super important to me. It's something that I think we're all looking for in a certain way. We're looking for connection, and it's not just random connection. It's actually intimate connection. One of the things that we are missing, I know, other than touch, is an intimate connection where we can truly say that someone knows us, someone really, really knows who we are and knows what we stand for. So I guess I that's the way I want to kick this off, is to invite all of the connotations into this conversation and really explore what each of those pieces mean. And, of course, we'll be talking about intimate relating often. I do want to make sure that we expand it to include and encompass that it includes and encompasses all these kinds of relationships, to keep those in mind as well. So thank you for having me.
Well, I got to tell you, sister, and I mean this, I when I don't talk to you, I miss you. When I hear you, I can't stop listening. You are one of the most clear, coherent, and consistent people that I know, aside of the fact that you are a woman and my sister, aside of all the other particular things you might be. Just generally speaking, Tazima, you are the fucking bomb. I just, you know, and I know people who say that, people who have listened to Sex and the Struggle, people who have seen you, like when we did Don't Wait, Fornicate down in D.C., they're just like, you know, and I'm like, Tazima is it. And I'm like, yeah. And I mean this. I want you wherever I am, wherever whenever I can have you. If ever I'm in front of a room, if ever I'm on a podcast, I want you there. So again, I'm going to back out.
Awesome.
And I'm saying, let's get it in. Let's talk some more about this exploring intimacy, because it's a deep thing. It is your shit.
Cool.
And I'm all right with listening.
Cool. So the main thing I think to start out, I want to really talk about what connection is and what connection is and what it can mean. So connection for me is all about the vulnerability of being known. And being known is, it's a little, I know that being known is a little jargony. And by the way, being known in the Bible means having sex. It means doing the nasty. And then he knew her, you know, she knew him. I like words. They're just so fun. The way people use words to hide things but not hide them in plain sight is pretty cool. So I like to play with all of that. But to be known is actually one of the things that we're seeking. And in one of the communities that I was in years ago, and it's the community in which I met Ulysses Butch Slaughter, part of staying connected no matter what was one of the things that was sort of big in that community. So no matter what, connection no matter what. When you say being connected no matter what does that mean? That means like, yeah, even if I'm a jerk, we're going to stay connected. Even if I feel shitty that day, we're going to stay connected. If I'm being delightful, we're going to stay connected. You won't reject me if I fuck up something that's important to you or whatever. So there's this no matter whatness about connection, which feels really, really good. And then how do you do that? The other one piece of what I do with my married couples is that sometimes there's a little too much connection. Sometimes it feels a little too much like family, you know, like you've created a family mm-hmm. and like you're looking at this person who's next to you day in and day out, and you know what their farts smell like, and you know that, you know, they don't always brush their teeth right, or you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, some very personal shit. They said some shit about you last week that really pissed you off. Whereas the person who is not in that day to day life with you, it's sometimes it feels easier to quote unquote connect with that person because it's clean. Because, and when I say clean, it means it's unknown. There are things that are unknown about that person. And then the trick of intimacy and connection is that, like, you know, being known is super vulnerable. You're going to know the things that are not in my, like, ideal stuff that I want to show to the world. You know, you're going to, in my case, you know, I just, the stress in my life and sort of my more sedentary, I've been more sedentary in the past year than I have been in the past, I don't know, like probably I could even say 20 years I haven't been this sedentary. It's crazy. And I've aged a little bit, you know, a little bit. And I got like a little roll, you know, it's a little roll, you know. And I'm kind of offended by the little roll. I'm like, hey, this ain't supposed to go down. This is not my body. But it's totally my body.
Right.
And even, you know, even sharing that, you know, in this time that you and I are together, it's a vulnerable spot for me, you know, because I've never had, you know, some people, you know, they struggled with weight issues their whole life. I didn't really have that. I mean, it's not like I was slender like my little sister, you know, my sister is slender, but I was never slender, but, you know, I was pretty fit. And so, and I was a yoga teacher. So, you know, teaching yoga every day, doing yoga every day, you're probably going to be all right. So the thing about my relationship with, you know, you, the listeners right now, is that I've let you in a little bit into my world. I've let you know me a little bit more than sort of the general public will know me. And I know I'm cultivating right now. I'm actually cultivating my public persona, which that's a thing, you know, and in the cultivating my relationship with sort of everyone that I'm connected with, no, I'm not going to tell them everything, but I am going to reveal certain things that feel vulnerable to me. And in my revealing those things, in my, as they say, opening the kimono, you're going to know me a little bit more. You're going to know that, you know, I feel a certain way about certain things. The more that I express my opinions about intimacy, the more I express my what I've seen in my practice about connection, what I've seen in my practice about what after, you know, a few years of being together, after 10 years of being together, after 20 and 30 years of being together, things shift in certain ways. There are certain things I kind of have developed this x-ray vision for people's relationships. I like having this x-ray vision for people's relationships. Sometimes I have to shut up about the x-ray vision I see in people's relationships.
Yeah.
But it's for them to see each other. And I have that x-ray vision so that I can share with people, hey, these are the kinds of things I'm seeing. These are the kinds of things that are important for you to check out. These are the kinds of things you might want to share. And like I said, not everything is for sharing. Even in the most intimate relationship, I think there is some importance for privacy. And maybe, Ulysses, maybe you and I can get into this piece of the conversation a little more in more of a dialogue of like, what is it to share versus
mm-hmm.
not share?
Mm-hmm. When you
like
said that, I was wondering
what you're hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when you said that, I was listening to your flow, Tazima, and I thought, wow, that's a lot. I mean, intimacy is relationship for relationship. I always say there's no one size fits all. So, you know, we say some things
mm-hmm.
and then people have to kind of fit that in with what is right, for lack of a better term, appropriate, what
mm-hmm.
feels good for
mm-hmm.
them. And so when you say everything isn't for sharing and that there are, even in the most intimate relationships, some things
mm-hmm.
that would be private, you know, people, one of the things people will want to say was, well, how do you know what that is and what that should be? Is there a way that you could say,
yeah.
generally speaking, how do you know what that is for someone?
Yeah, so the one place that I think is super controversial, we might as well jump into the super controversial, you know how I like to roll.
Why not?
Is this piece about fantasies.
About
and
what was that?
They are probably fantasies. This piece about fantasies, the conversation around fantasies.
Okay.
And revealing your fantasies or not revealing your fantasies.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and by the way, I just before we even get into that, it is not cool for you to keep secrets about other – if you're in a relationship with someone and you don't have an agreement about seeing other people, this is not what I'm talking about, keeping a secret or keeping private. That is not what I'm saying. That's fucked
right.
up. It's not cool. You got a different challenge there. We're not going to talk about cheating right now or infidelity. We're not going to have that conversation right now, but just know that – I'm not advocating for having secret relationships at all in any way, shape, or form, okay?
I hope they got that.
So let's get back to, yeah, please, I want to be super clear. So that's anti-intimacy. But what I want to say about this piece about fantasy is that it's really important for us to recognize that fantasy is an awesome thing. I learned a lot about fantasy in Mating in Captivity, the book by Esther Perel. She's really super fresh. People have been recommending Esther Perel to me for several years, and I really only just got on her content. But what she says about fantasy is that fantasy is this private, it's a private sort of exercise. She doesn't say the word exercise, but I think it's a private activity that you do with your mind that reconciles old hurts from back in the day. It reconciles current desires. It can empower someone who has gone through a trauma. It can help them heal the trauma by incorporating elements of the trauma, but in a way that is something that is where the person is empowered, the person is in control, the person is authoring this fantasy. And so some fantasies can be shared, and some fantasies are really, really just for you, especially those fantasies that are for healing. Okay, so fantasies, the other thing that she emphasizes about fantasy is that fantasy is not necessarily something that you want to happen. Okay, I have had fantasies that I definitely don't actually want to happen, but they're really, really hot in my mind. They're really hot in my mind. And, mm-hmm. and in order to mm-hmm. bring some of those fantasies that I've had to fruition, it would probably mean that people would come to blows. I would be watching, of course, but, you know, it would be really bad for something like that to happen. As you might guess, it involves multiple males who may or may not hate each other. So,
all right.
So, you know, it's a fantasy. And do I share my fantasies? Not necessarily. There are some that I have shared. There are some that I have acted upon and brought, asked to be brought out. And it has been pretty hot. The challenge with certain fantasies, for example, not only, you know, with something like in the example of my fantasy where, you know, the people don't like each other, it wouldn't be appropriate, blah, blah, blah. There are certain fantasies that could get you ostracized, even in your intimate relationship. Even if you think this person really knows you, they could be completely offended by your fantasy. They can take it like, oh, is this something that you want? And that's why I'm emphasizing here that fantasies are not necessarily something that we want. So fantasy is a place where this is one example where it's actually good to have some privacy. So I just want to open it up to you, Ulysses, a little bit.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, as you're talking, what I like about what you do is that you have a way of inviting people into, as you said, you're talking about being intimate. I like the way you invite people mm-hmm. into the space that you open up and you share the space. So sharing this conversation about fantasy had me actually thinking about some of my fantasies as you were talking and, you know, trying to distinguish mm-hmm. between the ones that I'm like, oh, hell yeah to, versus the ones that I'm like, oh, hell no to. And I've got some great ones, and then some of them can be tricky, Tazima. I think about like fantasy as a proposition to someone is sometimes dangerous territory. I mean, you really do have to be intimate with mm-hmm. people, and intimacy, I think, happens in degrees, right? And so it's not, as I've been talking with a friend of mine about stages of intimacy, it's not like a one-size-fits-all thing. It's all about chemistry, and it's about consent and willingness. But it's not like you can say, well, this is the formula of intimacy for everyone. So I'm just thinking about the way that you're talking about this and how fantasy for some is just totally off the table for others. It's like they don't even mm-hmm. want to play mm-hmm. in a particular place in their mind. And it sounds to me like what you're saying is it's okay to be in that space with yourself and play with yourself, whether it be physically or metaphorically, to play with your mind in that mm-hmm. way, and that it's actually a mm-hmm. good exercise.
Yeah, and it's really great. And some, I want to take a moment to clarify, between men and women, fantasy might even occur. For some women and some men, fantasy will occur differently. Women will sometimes be ashamed of having fantasies at all. Oh, you know, I don't fantasize, because they have a negative connotation about teenage boy like whacking off to, you know, some mm-hmm. inappropriate or some some guy who, you know, and it's always guys, by the way, because that's a whole other situation. That
guys are so creepy.
With women giving, yeah, they're so creepy, and giving up our sexual agency to men. Like, we don't have any sexual agency. We're the ones who have to defend against their sexual agency, and, like, if they are the ones who are horny, then I don't have to be responsible. It's bullshit, ladies, by the way.
Right. That's right.
It's awesome for you to be hot of your own accord with or without another human being, okay? Let's just lay that down.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, you know, seriously. So fantasies can be, you know, a fleeting thought. It can be a feeling. It doesn't have to have any words or dialogue. It can be something that you associate, you know, a fantasy associated with a place, you know, like specifically making love under the stars, or fucking under the stars, or, you know, being passionately kissed. Or being, you know, whether it's penetration or it's not penetration, whether it's a caress, you know, touching pinkies with someone who, you know, on the train who is really hot to you, that can be a fantasy. It can just be really a small degree or a great involved, you know, scheme and plot. It can be very intense. It can be very subtle. And I'm inviting people to be open about that, a little bit more open about what fantasy can be for them. It's not that this whole conversation is about fantasy, but I think fantasy is a good example of where we can choose how much we're going to share and keep a little privacy. The other thing I want to share about sort of privacy and distance in connected, committed relationships is part of the, and I made a little reference to this earlier when I said, you know, people feel get a little too close. There's like not quite enough distance. Well, what happens over time in relationships is that we get too familiar with people. And then there's not, again, with some of the Esther Perel work, as well as the book Sex at Dawn, another one of my super duper favorites, and I have another book that I'm actually going to read from in a moment, which all of these, both those two books, Sex at Dawn and Mating in Captivity, talk about creating sort of distance and some privacy so that you can stay connected with your partner. I had this experience in my own relationship, and I've coached people who have had similar situations where, you know, they just spent too much time together. And child rearing can really do that. In my case, both of us were working at home, and it was pretty tricky. It was like, I just need to get out of here. You need to go. I need to go. And now both of us are working a little more out of the house. Got really hot again, you know. It's just like, boom. You know, he's doing his workout. I'm grinding. We both grinding. We come back together, and, like, then we're grinding together. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So you said a thing a little while ago, Ulysses, about incremental intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read from my boy, my ace boom coon, my guy David Snarch. He's PhD. He's amazing. He has a really technical book. And then this is his book for people. I think he actually has several books, but he has a really technical book about sexuality being a crucible, which is awesome.
Mm.
But this one is called Passionate Marriage, Keeping Love and Intimacy Alive in Committed Relationships. And he talks about intimacy particularly. And he says, I'm just going to read this whole paragraph because it's so awesome. It's actually some of the basis of my work. So he says, many authors and therapists believe that couples gradually achieve the degree of intimacy they want through accumulated experiences of mutual trust, validation, and reciprocal disclosure. That sounds about, I'm going to pause the quotation for a moment. That sounds about right, right, Ulysses?
It does, yep.
Yeah. Everybody kind of agrees that this is what you do. Like, it's over time, you do, you know, you share, and you say, okay, now how do you feel? Okay. So, he says, he continues, in all my years of therapy, I've never seen intimacy unfold in this idyllic way. Certainly, I've seen couples who have tried this idealized perspective, but it just doesn't work in the real world of marriage. Ironically, intimacy seems to develop through conflict, self-validation, and unilateral disclosure. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. I will be happy to elaborate on why I think this is so brilliant.
I you know what? It's just so hard for me. First of all, I can't believe that we only set this up for half an hour. You and I got a lot of nerve to set this conversation up for half an hour. But I know what it is. It's our way of creating conflict so people will come back and get the rest of it. So this was very intentional that we only got 4 minutes left. And I'm going to try to keep this as clean as possible here because this is some bullshit. But the thing, Tazima, that really gets me, first of all, the conflict creates intimacy. There's a way that I believe that people have to be, we got to be students of this stuff. You know, we have to be, we have to be buying into ourselves as subjects in a process that we are okay with, you know, working with ourselves and working with the other person and reconciling and apologizing, all of that stuff creates intimacy, but there's an intentionality around intimacy. And when I say intentionality, I don't necessarily mean formula. I just mean that there's a buy-in. Intimacy is a buy-in from the beginning. You got to say yes to intimacy because then you realize if you can go back and say yes to intimacy over and over again, you realize that the conflict and all that other stuff is actually the building block of the relationship and of intimacy. It's not what's getting in the way. It doesn't get in the way. It actually builds it. So, again, you got a lot of nerve having only 2.5 minutes left to go here, but we know we're going to pick this up. I'm drooling.
Yeah,
I'm like, because you call me, and then I'm like, but I was listening to you. I don't want to talk. I'm listening. Go ahead, sister.
So in the two-minute wisdom, no. What I do want to bring out and the piece that I want to titillate everyone with is that think about the after the breakup and makeup sex, the makeup sex. So you get all upset with one another and fuck you and this is some bullshit and I can't stand it. And what's really happening there, I'll give you a little bit of this. What's really happening in this point is that you're standing for something. The person is knowing, is gets a way of knowing you a little bit better. There's a reason you're upset. You care about something.
That's right.
And so in that, in what you're caring about, it's really important that you know what you're caring about. And intimacy and not sort of crazy nonsense fighting about, you know, well, you did this and you did that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where people were deeply hurt. There was a big, significant challenge, and you're aware, like, I want something different. So I would actually like to pick up next week on the piece about conflict. So we will pick up on conflict and how conflict can create and support intimacy, and we'll dig a little bit deeper into these other pieces of self-validation. People don't know what that means. I'll define that next week. Unilateral disclosure and this idea of intimacy through conflict. So we will keep it going there.
Well, this was an incredible first kickoff. I was, like I do a lot of times when you're talking, Tazima, I just listen. I'm like, I'm a student too. I know I'm supposed to be, you know, kind of rhythming with you here, but sometimes you just get fucking mesmerizing to me. I'm like, you got the academic thing going on, you got the sexy thing going on, you know, you be dropping, you know, F-bombs, and then you come back with a big word, and I'm like, shit. So part of our relationship has been about developing intimacy. We got 20 seconds left, and I want everybody to know, Zima will be back. I'm going to let you know well in advance. I'm going to make sure that this piece right here is available for people to get on demand. Zima, I'll send you the link and you can make that happen. But if you want to take us out of here, you got 5 seconds, sister. How do people reach you?
This has been Tazima Davis, Infinite Relating. And you can also find me on Facebook at Facebook/Tazima, Tazima. Thank you.
Thank you. This has been Sex and the Struggle. We call this particular segment, what do we call it, Tazima?
Exploring intimacy.
All right. We're exploring intimacy, and that's what we're going to do every week, and we hope that you will join us again next week. And Tazima, my sister, girl, I love you. Let me just go ahead and say that. I am crazy about you, and I look forward to being back with you next week, and we're going to get it in. So to everybody out there listening, thank you so much for joining us, Sex and the Struggle, Exploring Intimacy with Tazima Davis. We will see you next week. Take care.
Thank you.